We're going to be talking about the concept of trust it all, particularly in honoring God with first fruits. Last week, we appropriately, I believe, considered the fifth commandment, you know, about honoring mothers. I'm going to backtrack a bit now to the first commandment. It's concerning honoring God. The Lord spoke there saying, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods before him. Now, for many of us, that might seem like, well, that's not a problem for me. You know, I don't have any little idols or I don't have any gods that I worship. Nothing comes before me and my God. But having said that, when we really understand what he's saying, God is to be first and foremost in our lives, in everything. And there are things that we might not think about as being gods that we can sometimes make into gods. Anything that we give preeminence to, anything that we trust in other than God. It can even be someone, maybe, that we value or esteem above him. We need to be careful about that, concerned about that as God's people, that he is to be honored first and foremost in everything. I'm going to backtrack some more, about 2,000 years prior to the giving of the commands at Mount Sinai. We can read in Genesis 4 about a time when there were these two brothers. They both had an opportunity to do what was right about honoring God first and foremost. It says there in verse 1 of chapter 4 that Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, it says, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what's right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Long ago, I was taught that the issue at hand here was that both of these boys should have offered animal sacrifices. Certainly, God must have told them that's what he wanted, and Cain disobeyed. I accepted that idea for quite some time, but I eventually realized something. To jump to that conclusion, you have to do more than just read between the lines. You have to write between them. You've got to fill in some blanks and surmise some things and speculate about some things that we're really warned in Scripture not to do. But if we just stick with what it says, the most obvious problem maybe wasn't with what they offered necessarily, as much as when they offered it and why they offered it. See, they both gave out of what they had. Cain gave grain or produce because that's what he raised. Abel gave a lamb because that's what he raised. The Hebrew word in the text, mina, it's translated offering. It's not the usual word for a blood sacrifice. Most common meaning in the Hebrew is just the idea of a gift, an offering given, even a free will gift. Each brought what they'd been blessed to produce. Now, wouldn't you expect that a farmer is going to bring an offering from his crop and that a shepherd from his flock? Matter of fact, New Testament, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says this, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. See, there's a principle there. If the willingness is there, God's not asking us to give what we don't have, but to give from what we do. Matter of fact, when the law of Moses was given at Sinai, provisions were made for offerings of fruit and grain and animals, as well as even drink offerings. If someone happened to be raising a vineyard, guess what? They could give a drink offering. unless God changed his mind somewhere along the way, which the scripture tells us he does not, he didn't have a problem with offerings of produce. In fact, Leviticus 2, back when we get to the law again, verse 1 through 3, tells us that these offerings of produce, of grain and fruit, are just as much a sweet aroma to the Lord as an animal sacrifice. So the problem wasn't necessarily in what was offered, perhaps is the quality of what was offered, how it was offered, when it was offered. So back to the text. Genesis 4 told us in the course of time, the idea, some time passed before Cain offered some fruit from his crop. And it says some fruit. Some. Abel, on the other hand, offered first fruit from his flock. And it was the firstborn. See, it was first fruit, firstborn. What are we talking about here? He didn't wait to see how many lambs he'd have before calculating what he could afford to give. Cain apparently gave leftovers after he saw his crop, saw what he had, saw what he thought he could spare, and offered that. But Abel, see, gave fat portions. Now, I've referred to this text sometimes when I've gained some weight and said, God always wants fat portions. You're supposed to laugh there. Ha, ha, ha. That's not the idea, right? But the idea is that it wasn't some skinny, bony animal that was, you know, underfed, undernourished, or sickly. Or no, the idea of the best. He gave the best of what he had. The firstborn that was best. The best of the best. No wonder, see, God accepted, even favored Abel's offering over Cain's. Now, the Hebrew writer also says in 11 verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Think about that a minute. What about our offerings? What do we give to show honor to God? Would God speak well of them? See, God spoke well of Abel's offering. Would he speak well of ours? Truth is, see, our offerings indicate more about the degree of honor that we have in our heart for God than we may care to admit. See, this really is a trust issue. A trust issue. Even the concept, again, of by faith Abel offered. He believed that God provided and would continue to provide. He trusted and he offered first fruits. How much of our time and energy do we give to everything else before we offer some to him? Do we thank him and praise him the first thing every day? Or do we ignore him all day, falling into bed, totally exhausted with a token, now I lay me down to sleep, forgive me, Lord, for what I keep? Do we use our strengths every waking moment to fulfill our own wishes, hoping that he'll be satisfied with a half-hearted promise to serve him tomorrow with whatever leftovers we have? What are our resources? Oh yeah, we're going to get personal. It's strange to me sometimes that people say, oh yes, I trust God, but don't talk to me about money. Now, if you're visiting with us for the first time, say, oh, wow, first time I've ever gone to that church and they're talking about money. I hear that about churches. Members here can tell you this is probably the first time I've brought that up in a long, long time. And one of the reasons is because we're on this concept of honoring God. And God wants us to honor him with all of our resources. We may not raise sheep or harvest grain or raise crops, but we all have means, whatever our occupation is. In the same way that God provides seed to the sower and blesses the ewe lamb to produce, Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 tells us that he gives us the ability and the opportunity to work and to be productive, and that we should never, ever forget that. He was concerned that the people would go into the land and they would prosper,
But they would forget that it was God who was prospering them. And they would use everything for their own good, their own glory, for their own pleasure, and leave him out. You want them to remember always, whatever you have, whatever resources you've been blessed with, it came from my hand to yours. And it's really for you to be a good steward of. Remember, it belongs to me. You may be one who'd say, well, wait a minute. Now, that may apply to other people, but I don't even have a job. Or I'm drawing unemployment now, or I'm on Social Security, or I'm still living at home, and Mom and Dad, you know, they're the ones taking care of me, and I don't have any income. But generally speaking, that's not totally true. If you have any income at all, even if it's just the allowances that your parents provide, or those little gifts that your grandparents provide, or once again, whether it is a benefit from our government, it's by God's grace that you are receiving that. We all have something. And the prophet Haggai had to remind the people that the silver and gold, all of it belongs to God. Yes, we have obligations, most of us, to pay bills, but there's probably not a one of us who has not chosen at one time or another to spend anything extra on ourselves without first considering, should I honor God with this? Do I even have an obligation to honor Him with this? This extra, this windfall, this little bit that has come my way I wasn't expecting. This bill that was reduced and now I have a little extra in my budget. This thing that got paid off, do I immediately need to go and spend that and something for myself? Or should we first think, who has blessed me with this extra? And who deserves to be honored with it first and foremost? So many of our folks in our congregation, in our community, in our country, are going through some lean times. Just about everybody that I talk to has had some either raised expenses or some lowered income or some loss of benefits. Just about everybody has suffered in some regard in their financial situation, but not everybody. I know others who have been very blessed and have even had increase. But we know there's lean times. You try to live within your budget. And if you don't, what will happen? What happens if you don't live within your budget? Pretty soon, you've gone so far that you're deep in debt, and now you can't meet the new budget. But if we're going to maintain the ministries we're doing and expand them, we need for every member of the church to understand the importance of honoring God and His church in their giving. I praise those people who are so generous in their giving and give even beyond what might be expected because they want to see the work of the kingdom continue. Yes, we need volunteerism. So many times there are people who have the mentality that they come to the church to be served, but every one of us should be coming to do what? To serve. To have our hands up, to volunteer and say, you know what, I may not have a lot, but what I have, I offer to Him in His service and His kingdom. I'm so thankful again for the number of people that we have who do that time and again. With the strength God gives them, they serve. They're there to always volunteer, to say, what do you need? What can I do? How can I help? Do you know how valuable that is? Do you understand how much that honors God? And for us in our busy schedules, just say, you know what, I've got a lot on my plate, but where can I help? And I'll carve out some time, or I'll take away from some of my personal time to honor God. We'd be able to do more. Even without much of a leap of faith, if people will just, again, honor God with first fruits, my suggestion is always to pray, ask God how much we should give, and then actually give it. Then actually follow through of our time, of our talent, and our treasure.
you've been here any length of time, you know I'm not a prosperity preacher. And neither do I talk much about this concept, this idea. Maybe I should talk about it more. I will tell you that I don't know who in the church gives or how much they give. I choose not to be privy to that information. Yet I'd have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to notice who's investing their time, who's investing their talent, even their money and energy into the work of the church. I'm not claiming that if you give a dollar to the church, you're going to have 10 fall miraculously in your lap. But God promises over and over again to fulfill our needs if we honor Him with our first fruits. Listen to, and I'll have these on the overhead for you, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions, and notice the phrase, and with the first fruits of all of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Obviously, he's talking to an agricultural-based culture. Okay? Again, we might not have vats of wine. Or we may not have barns, you know, full of grain. But listen, he's saying whatever increase God has given us, what should we do with it? Honor him with it. Whatever possessions, honor him with it. And what will he do? Well, he'll watch over you as you scrape and worry and are anxious over meeting your day-to-day needs. Is that what he says? No! Honor me first, and I'll bless you. I'll bless you so much that you will be amazed. That's what he says. Well, that's Old Testament, Pastor. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 through 11, each one should give what he's decided his heart to give. Not what the pastor tells you. What you've decided in your heart. Not reluctantly, though, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. Does that sound familiar? Didn't we just read a similar kind of thing there in Proverbs? God's saying, trust me, give, and I will not only take care of you, I'll bless you so that you'll be able to take care of even others. You'll be able to abound, see, in every good work. How many of you want to be involved in good work here at Calvary? How many of you want to see us do more good works? A brighter light in the community. It takes trust. Trusting that if we give to that effort, God will bless us and we'll be able to do that more and more and more. He goes on to say, as is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be poor. This is where you say, that's not what it says. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The leadership here believes in God's promise. And they are among the first to pour out themselves and everything they have into the work of the Lord's church here. They believe in the promise. And I'm just encouraging you, challenging you, urging you to believe in the promise too. To believe that what God says, He will do. What God promises, He will fulfill. If we honor Him first, He will honor us. He will bless us. As God himself declared to the prophet Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. You ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. It's God speaking. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now look at this phrase, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Now, there are a few things, only a few things, that God tells us to test him about. And this is one of them. He seems to be saying, if you have difficulty believing what I'm telling you, test me. When it comes to the principle of sowing and reaping, in regards to our money, our possessions, he says, invest in the kingdom and you can't lose. Whoa. How many of you like a sure thing? How many of you like a safe bet? He says you can't lose. Isn't that what he's saying? Test me in this. Test me. If we test God in this, will he deliver? Will he come through? Will he? Yes. Then why don't we test him? Some of you are. And you've seen. You've seen the hand of God. You've seen the providence of God. So many times we don't test him. We don't do it. And we wonder, well, God, why am I so destitute here? Why are things so tough for me? Why can't I make ends meet? God, if I had more, I'd give you something. But I don't have anything to give you. Really? A friend once told me that. He said, I have so many other obligations, I just can't afford to give anything to God. I told him, you can't afford not to. A relative insisted, well, come on, Steve, we're under a new covenant. You know that. There's no more obligation to give anything, let alone a tithe. It's all about what I'm moved to give, what I feel like giving. Well, I referred him back to our text in Malachi, verse 6, which we didn't have on the screen, just prefacing God's plea for them to tithe and to test him in it. He says this, I, the Lord, do not change. In fact, Jesus teaches us in Matthew 6:33, and we're generally pretty familiar with this idea at least, aren't we? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can anybody finish it for me? And everything that you need, all those things you worry about, those things you're anxious about, those things you fret about, what you're going to wear, you know, what you're going to eat, they'll be given to you. Jesus said that. They'll be given to you. Seek God, his kingdom first. Honor him first. And he'll see to our needs. And you see why this is such a trust issue? It's a huge trust issue. Do we trust it all to God? Well, yes, all but my finances. Yes, all but my home. Yes, all but, you know, what I've got laid by. Yes, all but. Do we trust him with everything? Enough to give him what he asks for, what he says belongs to him, what he deserves, and really even more when it's called for. We're going to sing a song here in just a few minutes, but before we sing it, I want to share with you, because it's a relatively new song. We've sang it the last couple of weeks. And I think sometimes when we're singing particularly a new song, we don't meditate enough on the lyric. We don't let that sink in, the melody perhaps, or the newness of it. We maybe even tune out. But this is what we're going to be encouraging you to sing along with. With every breath, with every word I speak, with every step, with every heartbeat, Jesus, let it be for you only, my whole life, all for your glory. My life is in your hands. I trust it all. I trust it all to you. My dreams and all my plans, I trust it all. I trust it all. And when we do that, that's where the chorus comes in. Forever I'm changed. I'll never be the same. Because of your love. Because of you, Jesus. When I trust you with everything, with all that I am and all that I have, it's then when I truly see the truth of your promises. And I truly see how much I can depend upon you. I truly see that it is all about you. And that everything, everything that's good and precious comes from you.
all good, all perfect gifts. And you deserve the praise and the glory. And I need to honor you with everything I have. Everything I have. Everything I have. Let's pray.
Father God, I want to thank you for all that you have given and all you have provided for our material needs. God, if we have food and we have shelter, we are blessed. And it's from you. If we have jobs, salaries, or paychecks, God, it's from you. And we might think, well, I earned it, it's all mine. If that's our attitude, God, forgive us. Forgive us. Or if we thought, well, I'll divide up my budget, and then if there's anything left over, I'll see if there's anything I can give to God and to his church and to his work, to his kingdom, then God, forgive us. Help us to put you first and honor you first and trust that in doing that, God, you will bless us richly, not just so that we can have more, so we can enjoy more, that so that we can do more and be productive in your kingdom. God, we are so blessed, every one of us, even if we think we're on the bottom of the totem pole as far as material wealth. God, help us to understand that we are on the top of the totem pole because we are your children and you love us and Jesus died for us and you want to bless us more than we can imagine if we just trust you more. Help us to do that. And God, if there's anyone here today who's maybe even put off by this message and saying, well, you know what, I didn't come here to hear about that stuff. I don't want to know about that stuff. I just pray, God, that you'd meet them where they are and begin to work in their heart where they are and help them to begin by just trusting you that little bit, to look more in the Word, to listen more, to ask more, to open themselves up for you to reveal yourself more, because the more they get to know you, the more they trust you, the more, God, I know that they're going to be praising you with everything they have. Thank you for Jesus, and it's his name we pray.